It's Tuesday, January 30th, and you're listening to a special edition of the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcasts.com. Folks, I have an exclusive interview with the product managers of Internet Explorer version 7. We've got some exciting announcements to share with you today. I am now going to patch in our guest from Microsoft, but first of all, strap in, folks. Here it comes. This is going to be a hot one.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. I am your host. And for all of you that are long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here at the Geek News Central Podcast. And for those of you checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Make sure you check out the archive podcast via the podcast link. And also sign up for our mailing list so you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox on our regularly scheduled shows that are delivered every Tuesday and Friday. This past Friday, I was made aware of an impending announcement by Microsoft where they are going to be releasing Microsoft Internet Explorer version 7 beta 2 preview to the general public. It's going to be a release that's available now since this podcast is up, but the embargo is off. But I did an interview on Monday, January 29th, to talk about the Internet Explorer 7 announcement and some of the enhancements that are coming to the product. The goal here of the show is always to give you great information and, of course, save you money. And with the Super Bowl approaching, it's game time. Right now, GoDaddy.com has domain names for as low as $1.99. Plus, as a kickoff special, enter the code Sunday. That's again Sunday when you check out and save $10 on any order of $50 or more. Hurry. This offer expires February 28th, 2006. For those of you that don't spend up to $50, you can always save 10% by using the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central Podcast. And additionally, I want to thank the folks at Microsoft for giving me the opportunity to talk about IE7 with them today. And we'll join that interview in progress.
Last week about giving you an update on IE7.
Correct.
Cool. So I believe you wanted to podcast this conversation.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we need to do before we start? Cool. Well, I'll let Margaret go take it away and kind of fill you in on what's coming down the pike.
Okay.
Hi, Todd. This is Margaret.
Hi, Mark.
And I wanted to talk a little bit today about some of the new features that are coming out tomorrow morning in the beta 2 preview for IE on XPSP2. But before I get started, I just wanted to make sure that I addressed any open issues that you might have before I talk about some of the new features.
First of all, Margaret, I'm sure you don't remember, but you and I had talked at the Consumer Electronics Show about some of the new features of IE7 and specifically about RSS. But I think today I'll just let you talk about some of the new features and we'll cover that info. You can go ahead and give me the standard fare. I do want to focus on the real simple syndication portion quite a bit, but go ahead and let's just start from the top.
Well, so excuse me for not remembering everybody
I met
at Consumer Electronics. If you remember, our booth was pretty busy
day. Very full.
Yeah, very full. So some of the things I want to talk about today are many of the features that we talked about at CES, the security features, RSS, and some of the end user features. I didn't talk much about security features at the Consumer Electronics Show, but we have done quite a bit to minimize the attack surface for vulnerabilities. I'm not sure if I showed you the ActiveX opt-in feature at CES. Did I mention that while you were there?
No, you did not. I did not see that.
Okay. So basically, ActiveX is, you know, a very powerful tool that we have in Internet Explorer, but, some malicious software hackers have tried to use ActiveX to kind of hijack people's systems. So in order to minimize that, what we've done is we have turned off the majority of ActiveX controls by default, so that a user has to enable these ActiveX controls in order to use them. That minimizes the ability of, you know, somebody to try and come in and install an ActiveX control in the background without you knowing it and having it accidentally enabled. Users will be notified all the time if an ActiveX control has been installed and then given the option to enable that control at that time. So they'll be able to do it on the fly, or they can go to their managed add-ons on the from the browser and decide which ones to opt into. So that's one of the security features that we have. I think I probably showed you the phishing filter at CES, correct?
That's correct. And I guess the question I have on the ActiveX is it going to be on a site-by-site basis where they can opt in so that when, let's say, they visit their banking site and they obviously want it turned on for maybe a function there, mm-hmm. will they be able to do it on a site-by-site basis, or isn't that complex?
You can do it. Well, once you've enabled the ActiveX control, it's enabled until you disable it.
Okay.
Okay, so you could go from site to site. And some of the more frequently used ActiveX controls, like Flash and Acrobat, those will be enabled by default.
Okay. One thing I noticed on the briefing sheet that you sent me is you talked about the delete browsing history. There's going to be a one-click button for that. Can you explain mm-hmm. How that's going to function?
So basically, you can just go to the tools option, and there's an option in there to delete browsing history, and it deletes everything, your cookies, your, it's basically any sites you've been to, any of the information that was associated with what the session you were just in. All that can be deleted.
And I'm also assuming on the phishing sites, you're going to be doing some sort of a highlighting with red or something when a site comes up as a possible phishing site?
Well, actually, there's two levels to that. One is if you go to a suspicious site, it will actually, your address bar will come up in yellow, and it will be flagged as a suspicious site, and it will even say suspicious site. And then if you click on the word suspicious site, it will bring up a little dialog box that explains what this means, that Microsoft has identified this site as a potential phishing site. And, we advise you to, recheck the site to make sure this is where you really want to go. Or if you know this is not a phishing site and this, has come up by error, you can notify Microsoft. Or if you know that indeed this is a phishing site, you can notify us as well. So that's one level. And then if you go to a known phishing site, what will happen is you will actually be blocked from going to that site. If you try and go to a known phishing site, you'll get your web page will come up and it will be a huge red X that says, Microsoft has identified this site as a phishing site. We advise you not to go here. And then you still will have the option to go to that site if you want to, but it says, we strongly recommend that you don't.
Seeing that many of the users that are going to be exposed to IE7 when it's released in the second quarter, whenever you guys do it for the official release, I take my mom, for example. She is not a geek. She is just an average user. And I think the concern that people have had up to this point is that the general user maybe not fully understand this stuff. What are you doing to help mitigate some of those issues and make it easier for the listener or for the user that is not really up to speed on security?
Well, that's a great point. And I also just want to point out that this particular preview that's coming out tomorrow is targeted at developers
right. And
web developers. So people like your mother, they might venture into it at beta 2, but probably not, even though that's a more mainstream consumer release. They'll probably wait till release. But even in the piece that's coming out tomorrow, the preview that's coming out tomorrow, we have created a welcome tour that's about maybe 10 web pages at this point. But we go through the top five features that we think are the most important for users, the changes. And one of them is describing not only what the phishing filter is, but how to use it.
Okay.
In two very simple screens. And the entire tour will take maybe 5 minutes to go through.
Tell me about the fix my settings option.
So with the Fix My Settings option, like I said, a user might go to a bank site, and the bank will say, you know, in order to go to this site, you might need to lower your privileges so that you can access certain things from this site. So the user goes in and lowers their privileges to allow maybe ActiveX controls that haven't been checked. And so what happens then is that they leave that site and they go to another site. They will get a warning right away in their toolbar that says, you know what, you are functioning at a very unsafe level right now. So we suggest you go back and fix your settings and set them to the recommended security setting. And so you just simply click that bar and it fixes all your settings back to the recommended settings.
I think that's going to be a nice feature for the end user when it's when the product's officially released. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, I think that's something that your mom will find very handy.
Yeah, I think so too. I know that you've worked a lot on the interface. Tell us about some of the changes coming with the interface.
Well, at CES, I'll tell you that the number one end-user interface feature that people really liked was on the end-user interface, it will probably be Quick Tabs. You know, the little icon to the left there that I showed you, how you can see all of your tabs open at once.
Right.
And then you click on any of those tabs in the window, and it opens up that specific tab for you. But also, I think you'll remember at CES, the advances in printing were very, very popular. So people like your mother will finally be able to print a page, you know, without having to reconfigure the page or, you know, her printing page or anything like that. We actually shrink the web page to fit on in the printing page, and we now have margins that you can adjust. And as you adjust your margins in, your web page shrinks to fit to that adjusted margin size. And you can view multiple print web pages at once for printing to see if you have any hanging, what we call hanging orphans, or sentences that hang just off the third page, so you don't have to waste that third piece of paper if you don't want to. Or the fact that you can highlight just text in a certain on a certain page. If you, I'm a huge user of MapQuest, but there always seems to be a lot of unnecessary graphics on those pages when I print them out. So I can just select the directions that I need and then print that out.
Yeah, I think that's a great function. Many times I'll just hit print on a page and I'll end up with 11 pages of paper, and it's kind of frustrating. It's nice to see that you've done some work in that area. One thing that, you know, I think users that have had some exposure to some other browsers obviously have been using the tab features already. But I see something that's called tab groups that I'm pretty excited about. What are you doing with these tab groups?
Well, I really like tab groups because there are a number of sites that I go to on a regular basis to find out what's happening in the world, like news sites, like Wall Street Journal, CNN, and MSN. And so what I can do is I can save all three of those sites as one group, as a news tab group. So all I have to do, I save those in my favorites center under favorites, and I simply select on the news tab group, and it opens all three of those tabs at once. Now I can save anything that logically makes sense to sort as a group, as a tab group. Shopping tab groups, news tab groups, travel tab groups, if I'm comparing sites, Orbitz versus Travelocity versus Expedia. I can save financial sites if I want to see what's happening in the market as tab groups. So this really minimizes the clicks that I have to do and simplifies the way that I use the internet.
A lot of the listeners to this show and also readers of my website are vision impaired, and you've added a Zoom feature. What is the functionality and how is that going to work?
Well, Zoom is very cool. Actually, a lot of users were pretty excited about this as well at CES. So basically, all you have to do is click the Alt and Plus or minus key, and it will zoom in and out of your page. And not only will it zoom the text, but it will also zoom the graphics as well.
Oh, that's very nice. Now, I know that since GNOMEDEX last year, when you announced the essentially the RSS integration into IE7, there's been a lot of anticipation in that. And I know that Vista is going to have heavy RSS implementation across all the products. Can you tell me where we're at with the RSS implementation, and specifically, I have a couple of points. One is, as a person is surfing the internet and he comes across a page that is RSS enabled, what kind of functions are going to be available to add that as maybe a reading list or of some sort? And also, have you done anything to support enclosures in IE7 natively?
Okay, so let's take the first question first. So if I'm a user and I'm going to a site like, let's say, CNN, and I want to know if there's an RSS feed associated with that site, we've now added an icon to the toolbar, which is an RSS feed icon. And I should add that this we worked really closely with both the Mozilla Foundation and Opera to standardize on this RSS icon. And so we all agreed that we would use the same icon. And so in Internet Explorer, if you go to a page that has an RSS feed, you will see the RSS feed icon highlighted in orange. And so you will know immediately that there's an RSS feed associated with it. We call that RSS discovery. If I click on that button, it will bring up a preview of what the RSS feed for that site looks like. And then I have the option of adding that feed to my feed list in my feed reader, which is built into Internet Explorer 7. And by simply selecting what we added again, another icon to the toolbar, which is a yellow plus sign, if I click on that yellow plus sign, it will subscribe me to that RSS feed. And then I will just, I now have in my favorite center a list of favorites, my history, and RSS feeds. And I can just click the RSS feeds at my leisure and see what the latest, how the latest subscriptions have been updated and read them right in my browser.
Okay. So where are you at on the enclosure support or not?
You know, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that, so we're going to have to get back to you on that, Todd. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay.
I guess, you know, it's kind of an important question. Those of us that are sitting out here and are creating content, and obviously this is a podcast, so go out and the enclosure will be in. We're all kind of waiting on bated breath what you folks are doing, and I understand that you're working on stuff, and I do... As soon as you hear something, let us know.
Okay.
Okay. I guess also for developers out there, I know that you've been criticized in the past on some of the CSS implementation. Where are you at on that?
Well, we have incorporated some of the CSS 2.1 standards, but I will say that we're not 100% compliant, and there are some reasons for that. We talked to a number of our web developers, and we asked them what was important to them, what features were important to them, and some of the features are in CSS and some of them are not. And we actually walked this fine line between, you know, we have some developers today who, because we weren't compliant in IE6 to standards, have built their applications for IE6. And if we came all of a sudden 100% compliant, all of those developers would have to rewrite all of their applications. So we're trying to take small steps and not lose our base as we move.
With Web 2.0 being such a big hype word right now, and of course with the sites coming out with AJAX support, I noticed in this briefing sheet that you have added AJAX support. What is the level of implementation?
Well, right now, AJAX support is being brought into the browser rather than being run as a separate executable. And so this is improving both the reliability and the speed.
Let's see here. Now, you've also done something within the open search extensions with your open search standard and working with A9 and other companies. What's the background on that?
Well, basically, we released under the Creative Commons license an updated version of the Open Search Standard to search in RSS communities. And this standard enables providers to easily make their search engines accessible to users.
So with this release, what are you looking for in feedback from developers, from advanced users that are going to be downloading this application and playing with it?
You know, that's a great question. And one of the things that we've done when you install IE7 on that page, we encourage you to save that page to your favorites, because we've created two checklists one specifically designed for developers and web developers to go through as they are checking out IE7. We want to make sure that it works with their RSS feeds. We want to make sure that their sites are coming up in IE7. We want to make sure that their ActiveX controls can be enabled and disabled. We want to make sure that their sites aren't coming up as phishing sites. So we created a whole list, and this is the type of feedback that we're looking for. This beta 2 preview is pretty much feature complete, but we want to make sure that when we go out for beta 2 publicly, that it works with, you know, what our web developers want it to work with.
When a developer that is developing a RSS application, and one of the applications I love to use is an aggregator called FeedDaemon.
Right.
What if that developer decides that he wants to build some functionality? Is the API available so that they can tie in and build extensions or plugins for IE7?
Absolutely. It's an open API.
Okay. What has been your response so far on the development side for that?
It's fairly new, so we don't have a lot of ISVs or developers that we're aware of, but we believe that's one of the reasons we want to get this out, that as developers see the power of the RSS platform, we'll start seeing more of that.
All right, that's
great.
And
if you want, Dave Weiner, I'm sure you're familiar with him. We spoke with him earlier this morning, and he's happy to chat with you more about that.
Okay, great. Now, on your actual subscription on RSS, you've incorporated that into, correct me if I'm wrong, you said into favorites, or you've got an actual feed reader, you said some sort of a feed reader?
So let me explain. We've changed our favorites into what we call a favorite center. And the favorite center incorporates three different pieces. Your favorites are in there, your history's in there, and your RSS feeds are stored there. So if I go to a site and it says that it has RSS available, I click on the RSS button. I then have the option to subscribe to it. I subscribe to it, and then it's stored in my RSS feeds in my favorite center.
Does each page then load individually? Are you going to have a river of news type of reading functionality, or would it be a single click versus a site to bring up the content?
Well, you simply click on your RSS feed list within the favorite center, and then you can select on any of your feeds that you have there, and it will give you a preview of what's happening.
Okay. What was Dave's general comments about what you guys are releasing tomorrow?
I was actually in that call with him, and Dave was actually really supportive. He is, as you know, has kind of been the beginning of this RSS movement, and since the beginning, we've really been keeping him in the loop. So, you know, I would definitely not want to speak for him, but provide you contact information for him if you just wanted to get his perspective. But we've been working closely with him, keeping him involved, really learning from him. He's quite the expert. So I encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, I follow what Dave does, and I have contact with him from time to time. So I do.
Okay.
I'm glad to see you guys are working with him on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
And he'll be posting something tomorrow on Scripting News. So he'll probably provide his opinion there as well.
Okay.
Todd, I do have to let you know that we are about out of time.
Okay.
So maybe one last question, or if you're okay, we could just wrap it up.
I guess, was there anything that we didn't cover that you think's important on this beta release?
I think we hit the security features, we talked about RSS, and we talked about the end user features that we think are the most compelling: quick tabs, print preview, and print zoom.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that too.
Yeah.
So, well, I tell you what, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with you folks today, and this will go up when we're allowed to release, and the listeners will, I'm sure this is going to be heavily followed, and good luck on the release tomorrow.
Absolutely. Right. We'll listen. So tomorrow at 9 a.m. is the release time.
Yep, I understand.
9 a.m. Pacific. Well, thanks a bunch.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Todd. We'll be in touch.
Todd.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Well, folks, you heard it right there. Let me disconnect the phone line here. They obviously avoided the question that I asked on the enclosure support. And, you know, as we talked about from the Consumer Electronics Show, obviously they have someone working on the Windows Media Player, working on their podcasting implementation. But they have been very, very quiet on what they're doing. I do know that it's a priority. And I know for many of you that listen to this show, you are definitely interested in what they're doing in the enclosure area. So We'll see. We'll see what happens. I do. It's going to be very interesting to see how the RSS implementation actually is, how it looks, how it feels, the easiness to navigate it. And I guess the important thing is we want to make it easier for the average user out there. At least I hope Microsoft is, you know, they obviously are after the experience. So, you know, this will open up to mainstream a little more on getting familiar with RSS. You know, us geeks are out here. We understand how it works. But, you know, and I guess the question I ask too, you know, is it's this is when this thing comes out later on in the fall or whenever they do release the final version, you know, is my mom going to be able to use Internet Explorer 7 and be safer to surf the internet? And it looks like they've taken a proactive stance on security, especially with the ActiveX controls and how, you know, a lot of times a lot of these users get ActiveX installed and or they use ActiveX applications on websites that they're not familiar with and end up with bad things happening to their PCs as a result. So they have thought this through, it looks a little bit. Now, a couple more things that they had on their briefing sheet that we didn't go over. They're going to be doing cross-domain script barriers, which allows the ability of web page scripts to interact. This feature limits the ability of web page scripts to interact with content from other domains. They've got some features built in for international domain anti-spoofing. Of course, the cool thing, I think, is the Fix My Settings function. I do kind of wish that they would have on the delete browsing history. It'd be nice to have a click right on the main page. Maybe that can be a default add-in. You know, that's good for your if you're out, you know, surfing on a friend's computer or at a internet cafe or et cetera. But they have improved the design and the interface with try to simplify the user experience. That I think the cool feature is advanced browsing. I mean, advanced printing. I don't know how many of you have, you know, how many of you have printed a web page and had it go on for, you know, 10 pages and you're like, you have to shred seven of them or throw seven of them away because the information you wanted was actually on the very first page and you inadvertently printed a number of pages. Well, obviously, Dave Weiner talked to him, and I'd be curious to see what Dave has to say over on scripting.com. I'm wondering who else they've talked to. I'm sure we'll find out on the release time. But I hope that you found this informative. Now, you can get the beta at Microsoft.com/IE. And again, this is a beta. They're only recommending that you run this on non-production machines. So just don't go out there, and if you're going to load this up on your machine that you do work on every day, I would not advise to do that. But if you've got a spare machine that you want to play around with it on, then you can go in and download it. I'm sure what we're going to see tomorrow is millions of people downloading it. I'm sure that just the general users are going to go out there and grab it as well. Kind of curious on what she had to say about the CSS improvements in that they're not completely compliant because they're worried about breaking their base from IE6. And I guess that makes sense to an extent. It's too bad that it cannot be, the browser wasn't smart enough to kind of deal with both issues at the same time. But it's nice to see that they've improved the CSS compatibility. Now, they also have something they introduced called transparent PNG support. And this supports a alpha channel transparency within PNG, which is an image format. And it's very popular among developers. It's going to result in some web pages that look much, much better. Of course, the AJAX support, improved AJAX support, the open search extensions. I guess that's for those of you that are out there developing websites that are searchable. I'm not completely up to speed on that, so I can't really talk to that as much. Of course, the RSS stuff. Windows is going to be an RSS platform. They are very committed to doing that. And so those of you that are on Windows XP, you're now going to be able to experience, at least on this beta, you're going to be able to experience some of the power that they've added in the Real Simple Syndication. I know that they're offline, obviously, but I want to thank Sarah for inviting me to talk to Microsoft and talking to Margaret, a product manager there at Microsoft. And if you would like, if you have any questions or feedback, you can send it to geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to send a voicemail comment or to our voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com, subscribe to our podcast feed with your either iTunes or your actual podcatching application. So we could be telling, subscribe with IE 7 Beta 2, but obviously they haven't done that. But it's geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml/podcast.xml. And again, we release shows normally Tuesdays and Fridays. I have fresh content for you. You got a huge audience here that tunes in or actually gets the show via a download. So anyway, thanks for joining me for this special edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Kind of fun. And we'll see you next time. We'll see you on Friday, folks. Aloha.
Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.